Hi, I'm Kathy Forstein, music director at KC Cafe Radio. Big Bird has been a favorite on KC Cafe Radio since we began nearly 10 years ago. Mick is known for his Ozark blues and roots country rock sound. His latest album, Moline, taps deeper into his root style with a twinge of the Ozarks, with warm vocals that are thoughtful and filled with poetic imagery. Thanks, Mick Bird, for joining us today on KC Cafe Radio.
Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, it's always good to talk to you. First thing I want to do, we've done this several times in the past, and I've met you several times and heard you several times and interviewed you several times, but I wanted to give a shout-out to your wife, Debbie, because she's the one who, like, keeps you in line and gets your gigs going and does all your work for you. You just have to get out there and play, so.
She sure does. She just yelled at you from the kitchen and said hello, so if you're going to do the music seriously and you want a music business, somebody has to run the business, and that's definitely not me. That's definitely Debbie Bird. And over the years, Kathy, I also think that Debbie's become quite an accomplished songwriting critic. If it passed her litmus test, it's probably good enough to play for people. And if it doesn't, it's probably not.
Yeah, I think she's been an integral part of your career and while you've been as successful as you have been. So I just wanted to give her a big shout out.
Well, thank you.
Your career has been in teaching and coaching up until the last few years. How was it before that when you were doing the coaching and the teaching? How were you able to have a music career and also do that as well?
Well, it was very hard, Kathy. It was very busy. Planning end of it was tough, but it was also very fulfilling. I kind of think that if there's things in your life that you're passionate about and you want to do well, why not do everything that you want to do well to the furthest extent that you can? I'm down to coaching one sport at my local high school, at Vienna High School. It's been a wonderful place. We have great kids. I still enjoy that greatly. But it's nice to have the time and the ability to go do as much music as we want, particularly with the travel. Kathy, we've done a good bit of cross-country traveling these last few years, and it's been fun. And I'm glad that I get to share it with Debbie, and I'm very happy that people find some value in my music and what I do.
You have a support system that's just really amazing, not only with your wife, but with the school and your family too, right?
Well, yeah, it's nice to belong, Kathy. I mean, it's nice to belong to a place. It's nice to belong to a group of people. And our school here really functions like a big dysfunctional family. I wish all schools could do that. It's very small. Everybody's connected. It's a cool place. And I enjoy my time there.
Good, yeah. Moline is your 9th album, is that correct?
Yes, it is, and it is the first one, Kathy, that is really genre-specific. We wanted to do a complete country and country blues album. Our other albums are pretty much all over the map as far as genre goes, and I think in a live performance, that makes it fun. You don't get anesthetized to a certain kind of sound or arrangement. But from the songwriting aspect, it's kind of nice, I think, to give folks an idea of a lot of things running down the same road or are in the same pocket. That's what we wanted to do with Moline.
You recorded this with your Back Road Band once again?
Yes. Yes. Ray Spiller on cajon, Joe Dunlap, Monster League guitar player, Brad Edwards on bass, Pete Skolka, our studio engineer, helped us in various ways, and we think it's a sweet recording.
Yeah, it's a great recording. What is usually the typical instrumentation when you go out on the road with this album? Are you you're taking a full band, or how are you set up?
Normally the three main players, Joe Dunlap on lead guitar, I do all the vocals and play acoustic guitar, and Ray Spiller does cajon, and that's our usual traveling entourage. And Kathy, we're really busy. We've got a great schedule set up all this spring and summer and fall, and we really appreciate the energy that seems to be flowing from this recording and the music. And as always, you know, you have to appreciate the venues who ask you back and keep you out there on the road doing what we do.
And you've already found a lot of success with this album already, not only on the charts, but also the Tennessee Songwriters Association nominated Moline as Song of the Year.
Yes, we're just awfully pleased about that. Kathy, we were one of 31 songs that was nominated by the Tennessee Songwriters Association International as their recording of the year. The awards assembly was in April. We had a full slate of gigs here. We weren't able to go down for that, but that was, I'm sure, a wonderful evening. I've seen all the pictures and all of the articles on the internet. We're very pleased to be among those 31 songs that was nominated.
And tell me about the song Moline. What's that song about?
Moline's a place. Moline is a town in Illinois, in western Illinois, not far from the Mississippi River. when we go to gigs, Kathy, there's a lot of little hooks that go through my head, sometimes verbal, sometimes musical. There's lots of hours on the road, and you fill it in some way. And, you know, Debbie and I enjoy the conversation and getting to know each other better after all these years of being so darn busy. That's fun. But one of the other things I do is write songs in my head, even little musical arrangements and hooks and riffs in my head. I can think guitar a little bit after all of these years, which I think is kind of cool. And I was thinking about a hook, and I don't even know where we were going. But the town Moline, when we passed a city limit sign that wasn't Moline, got in my head. And I'm thinking about what kind of images Moline brings to mind. And I'm thinking about it was winter, and it was a cold Midwestern winter. And I thought, wow, I'll bet Moline is cold in the winter. And what does that contrast with? And, well, what's a place down south that would be different? And Mobile. And the hook there is Moline. Moline ain't Mobile. It's a song about a musician being on the road and missing his girl. We think it turned out to be just exactly what we wanted to say.
And Moline, Illinois, in some ways it's kind of a similar town to where you are in Vienna, right?
Well, in some ways. You know, I think all Midwestern towns have a flavor. There's a certain sort of atmosphere and earthiness with it. But as the song says, you know, spring comes to Mobile a lot sooner than it comes to Moline.
So why did you decide to call the album Moline? You got a lot of great songs on there with good titles. Why Moline?
Well, thanks, Kathy. That's a cool question. By the way, we've signed three publishing contracts for Moline, Dead End Blues, and Solid Country Gold, and we have offers for the other songs on the album that we are currently negotiating about. That shows definite progress, I think, for us. Having your music pitched in Nashville by somebody other than you, I think, is a step in the right direction. I think Moline is filled with a lot of strong songs, but to us, Moline had a depth, it had a vision that really struck all of us in the band. When we play that tune, not that you don't get fired up to play every song, but we play a lot, and for our band gigs at 1 o'clock in the morning, sometimes at 12:45 a.m. it's hard to get really juiced about what you're playing, but we get really juiced when we play that song. I think it's just a really, really neat package, a little slice of country Americana that people can very much identify. You know, everybody has been somewhere where they missed their loved ones, whether right. it's job or you know, something that we had to do in life that took us away from our comfort zone. And are we going to be loyal and true to the people back in our comfort zone? I think everybody has that sort of opportunity in their lives, that circumstance, and how you handle that kind of thing sometimes defines part of who you are as a human being.
Another thing that I wanted to quickly touch on with you was the album cover itself. I mean, a lot of people don't buy albums nowadays, but I think the album cover is a good reason to get this album as well, because just a beautiful shot there on the album cover. What is that of?
Well, we wanted to try to sort of symbolize what and where we're from. And my term roots just defines the Back Road Band. Mm-hmm. And that natural setting that you see there on the album cover, all in the montage of color, we thought was a good way to communicate where we're from. You know, we're from the heartland. This is who we are. It's not a publicity stunt, and it's not a caricature. It's really us. And Kathy, I think that, you know, when you put out music, the packaging, the things you include, the quality of all the production work really makes a huge difference in how people perceive your music. The cover itself is specifically of the Missouri River bottom near one of our neighboring towns, Chemois, east on Highway 50, east of Jefferson City, down in the middle of the wilderness. So if folks want to know the exact location, that's where it came from.
Yeah, it's a beautiful shot. I'm a river kid. I grew up, you know, 7 miles from the Mississippi River. So I grew up near Troy, Missouri, Winfield, Missouri. You know, we always got the floods and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
So I'm a river kid, so I just love shots of the river, and the river's always spoken to me, you know, as far as imagery and things, so that's very cool.
It's cool that you brought that up. One of the new songs that we're really excited about, just east of Vienna on the Gasconade River, beautiful little river that flows by our town, generations of kids have grown up at a rope that swings out of a big tree down there. You swing out over the river and jump in. It's sort of a test of your young adulthood or older childhood, if you can get up on the rope and swing out over the river. And the song is called Down at the Bridge. And we have a great response from that, particularly, you know, local people. We've all been there thousands and thousands of times. It's also one of the songs that I have on my Kitchen Table Concert Series. Every little bit, Debbie will record a new song when I'm just sitting behind the kitchen table, drinking a cup of coffee, playing guitar. And we put it on my website and on YouTube, and we've gotten a very good response from that. And our latest one is Down at the Bridge.
Cool. I'll have to check that out. That sounds like a great song.
I think you'd enjoy it, being a river girl.
Yeah. Another one of my favorite songs on the album is Solid Country Gold. Can you tell me about that song and what the inspiration was for that?
Yes, it's a song about how wonderful things can happen in small places, and it has the play on words of, you know, solid country gold. The first thing that comes to people's minds, or my mind, is obviously a song, but it can also be a wedding band. It can also be the colors in the fall. It can be lots of different imagery to portray something that's just 100% magnificent.
This song's been finding a little bit of success with the charts, and you said that you've been able to get some publishing with that as well?
Yes, that is one of the tunes that we signed a publishing contract for. It made its way to Nashville a couple weeks ago, and like most people who are into that sort of thing, we're sitting here waiting to hear something good, we hope.
Mm-hmm. And how does someone get that kind of a setup? A lot of people are always interested in knowing how to get their music sold. What's the process?
Well, Kathy, I think most of it is just this sheer old determination and absolute refusal to give up. One sure way I know that you don't win is to refuse to play. If you play enough, a publisher will hear what you do, or a fan sends a song, or a publisher's in the crowd and they want to help you get your music to be a little bit more known, maybe with a cut by a national artist. And if the publisher is willing to do the legwork, which is pretty tough, you know, all the contacts and all the phone calls and the trips and the constant labor. Honestly, that part of the business doesn't really hold much intrigue for me.
Right.
So I'm very happy that that publisher saw some quality in our music and wanted to make that step for us. And if the publisher has credibility with the A&R person in Nashville, then they take a listen to your music, and that's all you can ask is to have a shot.
I was talking with some other singer-songwriters the other day, and we were talking about how hard it is to self-promote. It's just one of those things that just doesn't come naturally, I think, to a lot of performers, you know.
It's a little awkward. I mean, who wants to sit around and listen to somebody talk about how wonderful they are? I mean, that gets pretty old in a hurry. I'm not much on the shtick of the music business. I just like to play music for people and hope they find some value there.
Yeah. Well, another song that's finding some success is Dead End Blues. Tell us about that song.
Well, Dead End Blues is really fun, Kathy. It has a really, really swampy feel. And my buddy Joe Dunlap, who is as well as being great in the studio, both he and Ray, great studio people. But Joe is just nails in live performance, and he can light up that guitar. And on Dead End Blues, he has a signature riff that's very, reminds me of maybe a Kenny Wayne Shepherd style or an early Neil Young style of accompaniment that I think really sets the tune off.
When you were recording that, did you have that in mind with the song when you first wrote it, thinking, hey, this would be a great place for him to go crazy on the guitar?
Before we ever think about recording the song, we played the song innumerable times in live shows. And if a song keeps growing and keeps expanding, and you really find an arrangement that seems really tight and something that really works for you, then that's a song that I think that you probably need to consider recording. And one of the things we try to do, Kathy, as I mentioned, we're happy, lucky to be busier than heck. We keep the new pipeline of songs coming constantly. You know, when you play shows in a lot of the same area, you always want to give your folks something new to listen to. I'm not always a very accomplished songwriter, I don't think, but I'm fairly prolific. The new songs keep coming out, and if it really clicks, then that's something we think about recording.
I think you are a great songwriter. I haven't heard one yet I haven't liked, so.
Well, thank you.
Well, so what's your favorite song on the new CD?
You're not supposed to ask a songwriter what their favorite song is. It's like asking you your favorite child, the one that's on my lap right now. I would say it's a pretty tight decision. I think this Moline probably, in my opinion, has the tightest group of songs and the best songwriting quality of any of the nine that I've put out so far. I don't think there's anywhere close to a weak sister on it. But I would say, if you really held my feet to the fire, probably the title cut, Moline, is my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you just improve with every album. You can kind of see the progression of your abilities over the years. And I think Moline is definitely one of the best produced ones that you've done as well.
Well, thank you. You know, it's, life's kind of like shooting free throws. If you shoot enough, you're bound to get a little better, aren't you?
Yeah. Practice makes perfect, right?
We hope.
So where did you record this album?
We recorded it at PS Studios, just north of Columbia. Our good buddy Pete Skolka is an enormously talented producer, engineer. I think it's important, Kathy, when you record music, sometimes you're awfully close to your own songs, and you need someone outside of the process to give you a very knowledgeable, learned opinion about maybe where that song needs to go or should go or doesn't go in its current form. And Pete fills that bill for us. He's a great musician himself and a wonderful friend. His opinions are generally spot on, and he's the person who doesn't play in the band that we really trust his opinion on all kinds of production things and song things, and we thank him for his integral role in the music that we put out on Moline.
Has there been ever a song you brought in that you thought, well, this will be a great rock song, and then you turn it into a ballad, or has there ever been a time you've changed the direction of a song?
No, not anything that drastic, Kathy. We've done some modifications. More often, there's a song we're really hot about that we get to the studio, and it just doesn't come together. My personal view, it's about like songwriting. If you have to really work at writing a song, it probably doesn't need to be written. And I know that's really backwards from the way a lot of people go about refining their craft, but I don't know that songwriting ought to be work. It ought to be something that flows. If it's not natural, if it just doesn't come, if you have to labor, then maybe you'd be better off putting your energies in a different direction. Not that we don't all tinker and refine, but sometimes a song can almost be a little too perfect. At the point the song becomes slick, it loses its appeal to me. I want it to be natural. I want it to be honest. Right. I want it to sound like somebody played it.
Yeah, and it's coming from the heart, not from some producers in Nashville. So you say you usually write at your kitchen table?
Oh, I write all over the house these days. Since I don't have a 9-to-5 day job anymore, when the grandkids give me a little quiet time at some point, I still write most often in the music room, which is off the kitchen, but I write at the kitchen table once in a while in a recliner in the living room, if the Cardinals aren't on TV, sometimes outside, you know, just wherever the inspiration strikes you. And I'm really pretty spasmodic as a writer, Kathy. I'll go through stretches where I just don't feel compelled to sit down and write a song, and then I'll sit down and write 10 of them in a week. And so far, at least, most of them these days have sort of a consistent quality, I hope. And Pete says even the CDs we've done there that have lots of different genres, he said the songwriting ties them together, and you can tell they came from the same well. I think that's a great compliment.
So you're really great at storytelling and coming up with these ideas. Where do they usually come from?
Well, life is way stranger than anything anybody could make up. I think artists of all ilks, whether it's visual arts or music or sculpture, poetry, prose, songwriting, I think maybe, Kathy, those kinds of folks, us kinds of folks, I guess, maybe just notice a little more than other people notice. And if it strikes a lot of people think that art is therapy, and there's something that you have to get out of you that somehow you're cleansed when it's gone. I've never really felt that way. To me, art is joy. It's a creative expression of something from deep inside of you. When you write a song, you share a little piece of who you are to the world. And when that little piece of who you are matches up with lots of little pieces of who other people are, then you have a bond that makes it really neat. I think the bond in between a performer and the audience is a very magical thing. And I really enjoyed the live performance aspect of the music business even more than I thought I would when I started back years ago. I just wanted to write songs. after that point, well, okay, who's going to play my song? Well, no one if no one knows you, so I guess I will. And that kind of morphed from one thing to another. If something strikes you in your daily life, there's probably a story there. And stories illustrate who we are, where we come from, where we're going. And I think it's cool to be able to share that with people.
And when you first started, like you started 9 albums ago, did you think you would still be doing this?
Oh, yes. I think it's something that I plan on doing as long as Debbie and I are able and as long as we enjoy it. And Kathy, we're knock on wood, the last year and a half have just been really, really good to us in the music business. And I certainly want to sincerely thank all you guys at KC Cafe and the independent radio stations all over the country and all over the world that help we independent musicians be a part of the pie. Corporate America, I don't think is inherently evil, but it is inherently difficult for folks on the other end of the socioeconomic spectrum sometimes to nose in. And independent radio has been a very large part of our success, and we appreciate you guys very much. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you too as well. So you kind of make what we are, the reason why we do what we do. So you just mentioned your touring and stuff and playing. You've done some in national, international touring over the last few years. You got to play in Ireland?
Yes. And one of the things on our bucket list is Debbie and I both agree that we're going to go back. We were just flying by the seat of our pants and spent about 10 days there a few years back. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience, Kathy. My goodness, people are so open and so friendly and so kind. One of the places that I think might have been my favorite, I was playing at a little pub in Donegal, which is on the northwest corner of the Republic of Ireland. And it's fairly isolated. And I actually think they were just tickled to see someone who wasn't from Donegal who could come in and play a little bit that night. If they like what you're doing, they buy you a pint. They'll buy you a pint of Guinness. Well, the table was just lined up with pints of Guinness after a little bit, and Debbie was doing her best to try to help, but Debbie's not a very big group, so she wasn't a whole lot of help, and I finally had to tell the people, you know, we really appreciate your kindness, but please stop buying us pints. We're going to be here for months.
Yeah. So do they know about the Ozarks and, about your sound, the Ozark sound?
Well, it was... I don't think anything consistent. I was really sort of surprised about how the places that we played, anyway, folks were really into the blues. They really liked old traditional American blues more so than anything that was really modern or poppy sounding. Although the Irish, they just generally love having a good time and loving music. We saw a license plate when we were there that kind of says it all, that God made whiskey to keep the Irish from ruling the world. I think that says a lot of truth.
Yeah. So was it mostly playing pubs and things, or did you play anything?
I did pubs and city parks and little clubs, and it was just kind of a hit and miss by the seat of your pants thing. But sometimes when music is spontaneous, that makes it the best. It wasn't a big organized, wild production tour, but it was a great deal of fun, and It's something that we would certainly like to do again. At that point, we were afraid to take my Martin. I play in an old HJ28 Martin. That's a wonderful, wonderful instrument. Mm-hmm. In those days, they wouldn't let you put it in the overhead on the plane. It had to go in the cargo, which is, as you know, is like sub-zero when you're flying overseas. So I had to take my junior varsity guitar in the cargo hold. And it didn't make it to Galway with us. It stopped in Dublin, but we were in Galway. So when we called the airline, they drove the guitar from Dublin over to Galway because I had a show that night, and that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, at least it wasn't destroyed like a lot of people's stories about their guitars. So you've also done some national touring as well. You've been up to the Northwest, and where else have you been?
Yes, we went to Seattle and back, and that was great fun. But wow, Kathy, that's a long, long way. Uh-huh. And when Debbie and I talk about our future in the music business, we see ourselves doing way more frequent 7 to 10 day things than we do month or months away. It's just more fun to travel and see new things and meet new people and play for new people. in short stretches and then head on home for a little bit to lick your wounds. Mm-hmm. We've been in New England twice, been to the upper Midwest, La Crosse, Wisconsin area. We did that. We went to New Orleans and back summer before last. And we're kind of tentatively planning maybe late this fall or early this winter to head back south of Biloxi, Gulfport, maybe Asheville, Knoxville. Mm-hmm. And we're fairly frequent Nashville folks. We've met enough people down there now that when we go, I play all weekend somewhere. Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon. Sunday night always ends up at the Bluebird, which, as you know from your music work, is sort of the mecca of songwriters currently. Mm-hmm. And Nashville is a very fun city, a very open city, and we enjoy our time there.
What would you say makes a music city? You play like in Nashville and you've played Austin, and Kansas City has kind of become a bit of a music city as well. Well, how would you define a music city?
People. It's all about people, Kathy. It's about people who appreciate and value art and appreciate and value music. And not to be judgmental, but, you know, I think those kinds of people might find a little bit more joy in their lives if you know that you have this capacity within you to enjoy art, to enjoy music. It kind of fulfills the human experience, at least it does for me. Mm-hmm. And when people are all fired up about music and there's a music venue on every corner, it gives the city a certain vibrancy and a certain vitality, a certain zest for life, I think is awfully fun to be a part of.
Whenever you're out doing these tours around the country, how do you set up these tours?
Lots and lots of phone calls and emails.
Uh-huh.
And normally, Kathy, you know, by now we know someone or know of someone, musicians that we've met along the way who can suggest venues. And if you book a long time ahead of time, it's doable. The most difficult thing, I think, is connecting the dots. You know, mm-hmm. we've learned that a 500-mile drive, play a gig, followed by another 500-mile drive, play a gig, followed by another 500-mile drive, play a gig, that's not so fun.
Yeah.
And that just wears on you. If you can go to a place and maybe radiate from that place for a few days, like Austin, went to Austin last year and spent our whole time playing in Austin for a few days. And that was fun. Mm-hmm. You know, that was cool. And you get a chance to sort of recharge your batteries and you're not constantly driving to the next gig on down the road. Although I will say, you mentioned Debbie, and thank you for doing that. I would probably be playing at, you know, Ed's Barbecue down on the corner yet, because I love music, if Debbie wasn't here, but I don't think we'd have much of a business without her. And mm-hmm. I would maybe advise the kids who are interested in the music business to understand it is business. It is absolutely business. And sometimes that makes it a little more difficult to try to cross your T's and dot your I's and have all your ducks in a row. But if somebody that you're close to that loves you will do that for you, boy, it's the best of all worlds. Anyhow, when we're on the road, Debbie loves to travel. And she has a great photographer's eye, and she has a cool camera, and she takes lots of wonderful pictures that you can see all over my albums. That's primarily her photography. You get a sense of when we were going to Seattle, the United States is absolutely ginormous. We drove through the most differentiated landscape that you could possibly imagine. It was like going from planet to planet. And the travel of that we enjoy as well. And if there's a cool gig at the end of the day, that makes it even better.
Right. So is there a certain place in the country that seems to like your music the best, or is it just everywhere?
No, Kathy, I would have to say that my music has been very well received, particularly here lately, pretty much wherever we go. We, our home is always going to be Central Missouri. The show that I play in Nashville at the Bluebird, host is a cool guy. He asked me the same question every time I go, when are you going to move to Nashville, Vic? Well, the answer is I'm not, you know, and if we can achieve fame and fortune, heavy on the fortune, from Central Missouri, that'll be great. And if we can't, well, whatever. It's been a good ride.
So do you think that your style is different than, say, the Memphis blues or other kind of blues around the country?
Yes, I think my blues is a lot more roots country influenced with a heavy dose of classic rock influence, Kathy. I'm 60 years old, and I kind of wear that like a thorny crown, I guess, a lot of days. I've heard so much great music over the course of my lifetime, and I think everything that you have heard, that you hear, and that touches you incorporates itself into your soul. Mm-hmm. And I think that every song I've written is part of a product of all the songs that I've heard over all those years. I'm very interested in the vibe of music. How does the music make you feel? And that triangle of roots and country and blues, roots coming from the rock genre for me primarily, where those all meet, that's where I live.
So you also recorded some songs for the Special Olympics. Tell me about those songs and how people can get a hold of those.
Oh, that was a very cool thing. I had a buddy who was a basketball official who was also an executive with the Missouri Special Olympics organization, which is an absolutely dynamite organization, and I would encourage people to support it in whatever way that you can, large or small. It's a group of wonderful people. And I was invited to play at their opening ceremony at Fort Leonard Wood. Still one of the coolest things I've ever done. I just had chills going up and down my spine about being there that night. It was awesome. And I wrote a couple songs, The Chance, dealing with Special Olympians, people with special needs, and Gentle Souls, dealing with the folks who teach and help special children. And we have that on a little two-song EP that we still have copies of, and we donate the proceeds to Special Olympics. And it's awesome to be able to help them in whatever small way that we can. And probably the easiest way that folks can get a hold of that EP is just to contact us. And I probably need to tell you that the website you have, www.mickbird.com. My email is mail, M-A-I-L, at mickbird.com. M-I-C-K-B-Y-R-D. And folks can reach me that way. And we do a good bit of home sales here out of the cardboard boxes in the music room.
That's the way that they did it back in the old days.
Yes, it is.
And you're also a part of the Missouri Arts Council Performing Artists Series. How did you get into that and that distinction?
Well, we applied, and we're very honored that the Arts Council thinks that what we do is representative of some of Missouri's finest homegrown music. And being a touring performer that's approved by the Arts Council, I think is a mark of credit that those folks who are involved in the arts feel like what we do is of a quality that they'd like for us to be shared with places here around the Midwest. We're also part of the Mid-America Arts Alliance, which is sort of a regional organization, much like the Arts Council here in Missouri. And there are grants and subsidies available for little communities and places, schools that might not be able to afford live music to be able to go through the Arts Council and hire people from that list. And we're grateful to be on it.
So are you mostly playing like libraries and things with that?
Oh, it really varies, Kathy. I mean, it's not one kind of place or one sort of place.
Okay. Do you like a special kind of songs? Are you doing like more folky kind of things that tell stories about the area? Or?
Well, depending on the venue and depending on, you know, on what the criteria are. I think a smart musician, a songwriter, always tries to match the song to the audience. And I think there, as a live band, I think that's something that we do very, very well. We have a huge repertoire of original music that we play. And if the crowd really enjoys our roots country, we give them a lot of roots country. If they really enjoy a more swampy blues, we give them a lot of swampy blues. If they like straight ahead rock and roll, we give them straight ahead rock and roll.
Yeah, that's the way you should do it. You got to match the music to the crowd. So I want to ask you about your writing. How old were you when you wrote your first song?
I was 9.
Do you remember what the song was?
Yes, it was called No More Baby.
No More and Baby.
I was interested in playing guitar. My little chubby fingers would not really play guitar. I had a plastic guitar, a toy, and my sister tuned it to a G chord where I could hold my thumb over all 6 strings and move it up and down the fretboard. Mm-hmm. And I could play chords like that. And that is how I wrote and played my first song, and I played it for my family, and they were singularly not impressed.
So what was the song? What was the song about?
It was a song about ending a love affair, which of course I knew a lot about at the age.
So did you continue writing after that? I mean, you didn't let your family's unenthusiasm deter you?
No, I figured that if I was that easily deterred, I was not heading for any kind of success in that pursuit or any other one. Mm-hmm. And their lack of being impressed really sort of spurred me to learn how to do it right. And when I was 13, I got my first real guitar, and I got a bunch of chord books and learned how to play chords. And, you know, you sit down, and I still write. I think backwards from the way a lot of people do. Kathy, I almost always start with music. Now, I mentioned to you about writing Moline. There I started with an idea, but that's really not the way I usually do it. I sit down with a guitar, and I combine chords, and I like really crazy chord structures. I don't really go through books and find new chords. I would rather move my fingers in ways that are maybe not usually or normally heard, and particularly with combo chords. I know, being a musician yourself, you know, you combine a G and a D, and you have a completely different flavor than playing a straight G or a straight D. I do a lot of that, and the music will put you in a mood, or put me in a mood, where a memory pops up or a hook pops up, and we go from there.
So when you said you started playing really at 13, what songs were you learning?
Smoke on the Water, Peaceful Easy Feeling. I remember when I was a little more accomplished, I taught myself Stairway to Heaven. Mm-hmm. And that took months and months and months and months. And you know, Kathy, when I'm just sitting around with a guitar, I still like to play Stairway to Heaven. It's a beautiful song, and mm-hmm. it's also kind of a mark of accomplishment. I remember how hard I worked to learn that when I was a kid.
Yeah, and it's got some pretty gnarly chords in it, too.
Yes,
so.
It does.
So who was your music that was influencing you as a kid?
The first album I ever got, my sister bought me James Taylor's first album way back in the day, and as you probably have noted, my early albums that we put out were a lot closer maybe to contemporary folk music than the stuff that we do today. I believe I was drawn in that area because most of my gigs back in the day were solo acoustic guitar gigs, and they sort of lend you to that as my music evolved and got significantly, I don't know the word to describe it, but maybe a little more forceful, a little more pointed. I was drawn quite a bit more to the blues and roots country, roots rock genre.
You know, you became a school teacher, and you've taught for a long time now. At what point did you decide you wanted to do music as well?
In 1994, I had a really, really serious knee injury, and I was laid up for a good long period of time. And at that point, I was 38, and my days of athletic pursuits were going to rapidly come to an end anyway, but that really did it. And while I was sitting around moping that my leg was blown up, I thought about how in the world could I spend this time doing something productive. And I picked up my guitar again and got really serious about it. I'd always played, but I hadn't really played or pursued songwriting, I guess, seriously. My first recording, we were fortunate enough to win a Billboard award for a song about the Vietnam Veterans Memorial called Afternoon at the Wall. And that sort of gave me the confidence or the impetus of, if I really worked at this, I could do it.
So sports was sort of your first love?
You know, sports and music are 100% and 100%. I don't know how you dial either one of them back. I've retired from teaching. I'm still coaching one sport here at our high school. And I love it. You know, it's a passion. And, you know, athletics is one of the few things in life that is brutally honest. It shows you who you are. It shows you at the very bottom core of your being who you are. And I think there's so many wonderful life lessons that I've learned that did not ever come out of a book or come out of a speech. They came from a basketball court or a baseball diamond or a track or a gymnasium. And mm-hmm. for me to be able to help young people realize that they have potential inside of them that they never knew existed. That's still a real draw for me. I'm not going to do it forever, but I enjoy it. I love it. We have great kids. But on the flip side, I couldn't imagine my life without music. I couldn't imagine my life without playing for people. I can't wait. Friday night, we're headed to Shawnee Bluff Winery, a cool, cool little venue over at Lake of the Ozarks that I play a lot. And I wish it was tonight. You know, I'm tickled about going. Music is a gift. And the enjoyment of music is a gift. And to be able to play songs for people that speak to them is something that I will always be grateful for.
Yeah. I teach guitar. I know a lot of the times I have students come in and say, oh, I've got soccer practice, you know, can we move my lesson? I'm always thinking, you know, you can do music your whole life, so enjoy your sports now while you can.
Sure.
So, because music is something you'll be able to do when you're 80 years old, so...
You know. How many things that you can really get fired up about last a lifetime?
Exactly.
Well, there's not many. Music is sure one of them.
Yeah, but you won't be playing soccer probably at 80, so...
Probably not.
Well, Mick, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. It's been fun talking to you again and getting to know a little bit more about your music and your background in music. People can find you at mickbyrd.com. That's mickbyrd.com. And your music's available at CD Baby, iTunes, Amazon. Anything I haven't touched on?
If folks really want to keep up with where we're at and where we're going and where we're playing next weekend, Mick Byrd Music on Facebook is where we put up those gigs as soon as we book them, as well as on Reverb Nation. Our Twitter is also Mick Byrd Music. And we have entered the modern age of technology, kicking and screaming, but it is necessary. If you want people to come and watch you, they kind of need to know where you're going to be.
That's true. Very true. So the new album is called Moline. Go and check it out. It's a great album, and I know you'll enjoy it. So go pick up a copy at CD Baby, iTunes, or Amazon. And you can always go to the website and find out more about Mick Byrd as well. Thank you, Mick.
Thank you, Kathy.